Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 16th of April, recording at it's 8:54 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, just before the close, on Wall Street, but I can say that the Americas markets are closing out with a pretty good recovery following yesterday's decline. As a matter of fact, looks as if they've recovered most of, well, they're going to close having regained most of yesterday's losses on Wall Street. Dow up 150, the Nasdaq is up over 20, and the S&P up over 20, and the Nasdaq up 46 points. Those are all gains of over 1%, nearly 1.5% for the Nasdaq. And we've also got solid gains for the Canadian market, 0.76%, and Brazil bounced a couple of percent. It's regaining about 2/3 of yesterday's decline. Not so firm elsewhere. Europe has small losses across the boards. Biggest one looks like Italy down. The biggest one is Spain down 0.82%. And also Sweden with a similar decline. Now, but all under 1%. The Asian markets, Japan was a little lower here today, as were Australia and Hong Kong, but we had some pretty reasonable gains among most of the other markets in Asia. And India, up over 2%. So an upward dynamic here today from a little bit above that 18,000 level of lateral trading on the Sensex index. And the move was described as on optimism over the drop in the price of gold, which a lot of Indian investors are wanting to buy for the forthcoming wedding season. And also because of the decline in crude oil prices, which is good for India and just about every other country that imports a lot of its energy requirements. And elsewhere, we have small declines across the boards in the government bond sector. We have a generally steady tone in the commodity markets overall. Crude oil has been lower on the day, but has firmed up here near the close. It actually got down to, the WTI crude oil got down to nearly $86, and it's currently unchanged at $88.71. Here right now. We've had similar action on the Brent contract as well. The industrial metals were all a little bit firmer in here today, and the grain and bean prices are also showing some small gains. Most of the commodities are higher. A couple of exceptions, cotton, small decline, and the Brent WTI, just under $100 right now. So, anything else of interest here that I should comment on? Yes, indeed. In the highlights, the U.S. dollar is softer in here today. It's quite a sharp reaction, and we've seen it's down 0.637 on the DXY index. Probably it'll be more meaningful for you if I mention some of the recoveries. Sterling's back up to 153.75. The Australian dollar's just under 104. And the euro is one of the strongest here, up to 131, 1.3182. Precious metals firmer here today. They've been quite volatile in all the choppy action. I mentioned in yesterday's audio that this was climactic activity, although since we'd only seen a 2-day fall following the break under the Nifty range lows dating back to October 2011, that we would still see some downside pressure and tests on the lows. But my overall view on precious metals, and needless to say, we've had a lot of inquiries on this, is that it's more of a time to commence accumulating. I think the big central banks that have been building positions in gold all along will continue to actually do so. Yes, there is the fear that some of the weaker economies will see some central bank liquidation of gold positions, particularly within the Eurozone. That's been very much rumored here over the last 2 or 3 days. But well, and also a lot of people are talking about a bear market in gold, and technically it qualifies with that 20% decline. But 20% moves are so common these days that I think to call everything that's fallen by 20% a bear market is overstating the case. My own view on gold is that we've seen most of the decline. We may now see the price range a little lower, but my feeling is that there's a good chance that we actually haven't seen the highs that we're likely to see over the next few years. But meanwhile, in terms of technical action, since that view is just a hunch, in terms of technical action, we'll need to see some loss of downside momentum, which I think will occur quite soon, and some evidence of support building before we can project a meaningful rally. But I do think that will occur over the medium term, and one of the reasons for that is the continued effort on the part of so many countries to ensure that their currencies are reasonably soft. Now, getting back to stock markets and Wall Street's rally here today, recovering most of yesterday's losses, we do need to remember for Wall Street and pretty well all other stock markets that there's still a lot of quantitative easing going on around the globe, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Actually, the decline that we've seen in commodity prices makes it more likely and easier for the central banks to continue with their quantitative easing because inflationary pressures are not building up, and they'll still be a little bit more concerned about stimulating somewhat stronger growth and avoiding a deflationary setback overall. So we still have that very positive tailwind of accommodative monetary policy, and that's clearly going to continue. In terms of the overall action and where we are in the short to medium term cycle here, I've been talking about a corrective phase, which I felt would probably be more consistent with a bull market pause and consolidation than anything else. I'm talking about that bull market that we've seen beginning in the first quarter of 2009. And for the most part, the downward corrections over the last 4 years have actually been getting a bit smaller. And I don't think we have too much euphoria in stock markets by any means. I mean, investors have really been quite nervous. And if you think just back to late last year, particularly back in November, people were terrified that a very significant decline was imminent. So again, I don't think we're seeing anything like bull market ending or bubble signals here in markets, but where we've seen strong gains, a number of autonomies qualify, and you've seen Owen's reviews on these, where we've seen overextensions relative to rising MAs, we expect to see some mean reversion to those trend potential support levels. And that's what we've been, that's what's been occurring here overall. Now, lastly, on long-dated government bond prices, they're steady overall, but for the most part, very much within ranges. I think that will continue for a while longer, partly due, well, largely due to the quantitative easing that's taking place. But I maintain the view that we are very much near the end of a long-term 30-year plus bull market cycle in long-dated government bonds, and therefore the medium to longer term risks are considerable, whereas I feel that they're much more attractive in stock markets. And in terms of the actual commodity super cycle, and we've had a number of questions on this over the last few days, again, that's tended to be quite volatile, not least in terms of the very sharp drop that had occurred in 2008, but that bounced back even more strongly, helped by the run in precious metals on the upside. Commodities have been, for the most part, drifting lower, and occasionally some big hits, such as we saw in precious metals last Friday and yesterday. And therefore, in terms of an overall technical assessment, it's reasonable to say that the commodity super cycle, if it's not over, that at least it is paused for a fairly lengthy ranging process. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that continue for a good long while. When you look at historic charts of the commodity indices, which you can do, of course, in the chart library, you will see that their secular bull markets have not been followed by big downward retracements, at least not in weakening currency terms. They've been followed by lengthy multi-year ranging patterns overall. And as I say, I wouldn't be at least surprised to see that unfold once again for the major commodity indices. And on that note, all the best to all of you.